I love a sunburned country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothy McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Australia is a country rich in history and culture. Australia's natives, known as Aborigines, are believed to have travelled across the sea from Indonesia 70,000 years ago. Europeans arrived in the 16th century. The Portuguese were first followed by the Dutch and then the English. As a continent, Australia is actually physically similar in size to the USA, Europe and China. But even as it is a big country, it is one of the most sparsely populated in the world. There are quite a number of nomadic Aborigines living in many areas of Australia and have been living on this wide brown land for thousands of years. Australian wildlife has a reputation of being cute and cuddly animals. Some of these fascinating animals include kangaroos, koalas, possums, dingoes, and Tasmanian devils. Additionally, there are only two species of monotremes in the world, and Australia is home to both of them. The echidnas, a type of spiny anteater, and the platypus. Australia, like most other places in the world, has its own myths and legends. Some of them come from Aboriginal Dreamtime stories, like how the Kookaburra got his laugh and Waltzing Matilda. The origins of many are unknown. Some legends were written into poems and songs, which in turn evolved into legends as well, and in the telling, the poets themselves also became legends. Modern Australia is host to people from all over the world. Indeed, the country is home to some of the world's most talented people. In literature, the author Patrick White is a Nobel Prize winner, and fellow authors Peter Carey and Thomas Keneally are recipients of the famed Booker Prize. In opera, Dame Joan Sutherland is Australia's best known diva. She was the undisputed coloratura soprano of her time. Nellie Melba was the world's biggest opera star at the beginning of the 20th century. In cinema, Australia is home to Oscar winners Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. Musically, the country has produced famous bands such as the Bee Gees, AC/DC, INXS and Midnight Oil. In 1993, Sincere Truth Seekers invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to make a stopover during her 1993 World Lecture Tour to share her wisdom and insights about God and spirituality. Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously accepted their invitation. Please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled, It Is You Who Bless Yourself, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Brisbane, Australia on March 21st, 1993.
Master Ching Hai, disciples, fellow initiates, my ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor for me to be here today and to be able to share my own experiences that I have collected after initiation with you. I can only tell you what I feel and what my experiences were. Master Ching Hai, through her method, offered me a way to come out of my own worldview, which surrounded me, confined me like a bubble. I say bubble because I think it was illusionary. I did not realize it at that time, but I didn't have any frontiers. They didn't exist. So through her help, I could burst that bubble. And then I could see that the materialistic notion that my soul is only full of thorns, that indeed amongst those thorns is a beautiful castle, my inner self. Now, I believe Master Ching Hai is a direct sign to realize this. She is one of the very few direct signs with us here in the physical realm at this time. I say sign because a sign directly points at something. Unlike a symbol, languages are symbols, and so are words and scriptures. And these you can only understand if you understand the meaning through what is behind them. They're referent, and they obviously refer to the truth. So the crescent, the cross, the David star, these are all symbols. However, the Kuan Yin method for me gave a direct method, a direct way to see and to feel and to hear God. So to me, Master Ching Hai is the finger that points to the moon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming here. Thank you for making it possible for us to know each other. Otherwise, this might never happen in many thousands of years. This morning, I have been interviewed by one of your television personnel. And he has asked me whether I bring a new religion to your country. Something like that. Or what I name my faith or my belief. I said to him, it's not necessary to bring another new religion because we have plenty already. And I say, what is the name at least you call your belief? I say, we also have plenty names already. So it's not important to have another name or another religion besides the underlying principles of all religions are one. It's just like we call water in English and French is the law, aqua mineral, something different, or German Wasser, Chinese Shui, Vietnamese, etc., different. And then he asked me whether the religions are the cause of all the many of the conflicts in the world. I say it's not so. It's not a religion which causes conflict in this world. It is some of our misunderstanding about religions that cause conflict. Similarly, there are so-called two forces in the universe. One is the so-called negative, and the other one is so-called positive. Actually, both are positive. But if we use them negatively, even the positive power turns into negative. If we do not understand how to handle some good chemical materials, then they can be poisonous also. But even some kind of poison used by experts can become medical substance to heal people in some cases. We are endowed with both positive and negative power. Above this positive and negative, there is a greater power which encompasses both in non-separation. And if we reach above the positive and negative duality into the deepest recess of our inner kingdom, then we would be able to handle both positive and negative to our own benefit, as well as to the benefit of our immediate people and our country and the world at large. He also asked me, what do I think? Maybe I have intuitive knowledge about what the world is going to be in 10 or 20 years' time. I said, if all of us, or many of us, became enlightened, then the world will going to be better. It's already getting better, so it can only be better and better. More and more people are practicing enlightening methods, practicing the presence of the greatest intelligence during their daily life. Therefore, the world is bound to become better. He said to me, are you going to the lecture with the strong intention to convert people into your belief? I said, no. He was surprised. Why, I don't have any intention. I said to him, I come here because of God's will. And if people are convinced by what I say, this is also God's will. That is the collective fate of our generation, that you might believe me or not. I have no desire to be successful, nor will I be disappointed if I fail. I'm only doing my job. If God doesn't want me to do this, I will as well do any other thing and just do it and enjoy it. Do not expect any result, because the work itself is already rewarding. Any work we do, if we do it in a relaxed manner and wholeheartedly, try our best without expecting any reward, it is a reward in itself. There would be no evil in this world if we only know God, think of God, speak about God, and doing all godly actions. And even evil exists at all, there would be no problem. The problem is we do not remember God very often, except when we are in sorrow. That is fine, that's fine. So at least remember that when we are in sorrow. But if we are enlightened, then God will be always with us and reminding us about himself or herself, if you call that feminine. Otherwise, the woman will be angry with me. There are many methods of enlightenment, and it depends on how long you would like to enjoy practicing it, or how long you like to long for enlightenment. If we like to do it slowly, then there are plenty of methods. You can sit and do many things in a virtuous way, or pay the money for it, and then do what the teachers say and wait for the enlightenment to come. It comes by prayers also, but sometimes these enlightenments are short-lived. Should we know the exact way where to look for it, we will have it immediately, and it lasts forever, because we will be renewing it every day, and we will be developing more and more. Actually, it's not developing, because everything we have already. I would like to present to you a very successful way to enlightenment, as well as in worldly pursuits. That is, we're getting in touch with the highest power, which is dormant within us. We call that the Supreme Master Power, Christ Power, or the Buddha Nature, or the Tao. It's up to you. It's just like in India, people call Master a Guru. In English, we call it Master. But many people do not translate it into English term, and they just call Guru. And then after a long time, everyone knows about it and know what a guru means. But if we don't know it, we thought a guru is different from a master. And if we don't know it, we think the Tao is different from the Buddha nature. That's the only thing that makes a difference between religions, if there is at all. So therefore, I have no intention to bring another religion or another name into our already confused system of belief. But I would welcome you to stay where you are and maybe remind you to study deeply into your religions, and if have time, study other religions in order to have tolerance with each other and understand more about our own nature. Inspiring religious books or enlightening literature is always helpful and keep us more in contact with our inner self. Otherwise, if we are too busy with daily mundane affairs, then we are further and further away from our inner nature or God. Many of the people after initiation found themselves understanding almost all religious literature without me having to explain to them. Many of them have not even seen me in person. They just have initiation through another instrument. And I have not been even there to influence their thinking or to tell them what to do. But they have found their own supreme wisdom, and they have become more enlightened, more intelligent, and more successful even in daily life. When we left Sydney, one of the couple showed their gratitude to me because their family has increased in happiness and harmony between husband and wife. He told me that he came to Australia and just met this woman, and seems like not much of the passionate love between them, or nothing really very striking about their love relationship. They just be together and then just kind of accidentally produce two children. Although that's what he told me. But then after the initiation, both of them are initiated, then suddenly they have found life and love pouring into their relationship. They didn't know that they could love each other. They didn't know there is such thing as romance or family united spirit before. And after practicing the method, they have found it. But these are the mundane things. So it's not very important to stretch. But actually, every mundane things or every mundane success or expression come from the inside, comes from our own state of mind. Therefore, if we truly want to have successful life, then we should start from inside out. Just like we water the plant from the root and not on top of the leaves only. And if we are enlightened, all things will become easy. We think fast, we do think quick, we react precisely at the appropriate moment. And that's the key of success. Most of us use our intelligence at the brain level, the habitual level, the preconceived ideas, style of dealing. We do not use the direct response, the ultimate wisdom which control all things in the universe and make all dreams come true. It is not that I personally will bless you or any the fellow practitioners. It is you, yourself, that bless yourself when you have this, discover this blessing power within yourself. Therefore, we are here not to bless you, not to teach you, not to be your master, but to tell you that you can bless yourself, that you can teach yourself, that you can become the Supreme Master. Because we all have the Supreme Master within ourselves. The only reason we don't know, it is because we are being cheated by the illusionary busyness of daily activities, by the false value of the material importance that we have been taught to believe. If we know how to take time and where to look for our supreme wisdom, we will find it, and we find it immediately. And we can see our own nature, we can see God face to face, just like you see me. It is not difficult to find our own wisdom. It is just difficult to believe it. Therefore, if we see it, then we believe it. If we see heaven inside, we believe it. If we see God inside, we believe it. If we see Jesus inside, we will believe him even more. If we see Buddha inside, we will become a more devout Buddhist. Therefore, I am not here to present a new religion or to tell you to become a Buddhist or a Christian, but to present to you what you already have and forgotten to use. What is it that makes Christ different from other prophets? What is it that makes him better than us or stand above humanity? It is this supreme power. Jesus has promised us that what he does, we can do. And he doesn't say he's the only son of God, but he says you are all the children of God. But at that time, he probably was the only one, or one of the very few, who had discovered his own, princely inheritance. Therefore, he was probably the only one. And then after he realized that, he also realized that all of us have this inheritance. Therefore, he said, whatever I do, you can do even better. The Buddha also realized that all beings have the same quality as he, and he was surprised and say that, how come they don't know it? How come they don't know it? Yes, because they look in different directions. If you put a $10 note into your pocket and searching all over the house, can you find it? Of course not. The master is the one who knows that the money is in your pocket. That's the only difference. You have known it, but you have forgotten. So sometimes you see one person panicking, in a state of panic, looking for something or trying to solve something in a hectic way, then he can't think straight and he can't find the thing he wants to find. And some third person or just an onlooker, he was pretty cool and he has nothing to do with the whole situation. And look around, and you see, there you are, it's in your pocket. That's the only difference between the so-called master and the ordinary people. They put their attention in the other direction instead of where God is, so they don't know God. But God is always within us. It is promised to us like that. And I have found it, therefore, we speak to you through direct perception, direct experiences. Before, I was a religious person. I am now more religious because I know what is stated in the Bible is absolutely true. What's stated in Buddhist scripture is verified by my own inner knowing, inner seeing, and inner hearing. Hearing without the ears, seeing without the eyes, knowing without the brain computer even. These are true knowledge, true perceiving, and true understanding. And each of us have capability to do that. Therefore, if the disciples, the so-called disciple, I call them fellow practitioners, I call them brothers and sisters, but sometimes they call me master. And sometimes I forgot I call them students. But most of the time I call them brothers and sisters. Most of them, if they come and bow to me, I would not like it. Sometimes I don't react, but most of the time I react. I tell them, please stand up and don't make a fool out of themselves. And endanger my ego. Understand? That's more important. Don't let me forget for one second that you and I are the same. Maybe I know that your money in the pocket, but if you don't know it, it doesn't mean that I'm better than you in any sense. Just as you're busy with other things, your mind is full of other engagements and you forgot what you have. Therefore, enlightenment is so simple and immediate because God is within us. The kingdom of God is within ourselves. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. This we must verify in order to know it. Many people ask me, I believe in God already. I know there is a creator and I do all good things and I live a virtuous life. Why must I have this enlightenment at all? The answer is, if we don't have enlightenment, we suffer. We don't truly know our own position in the universe, and we suffer. We suffer in different ways, because we can't handle the positive and negative power which is inherent within us. Therefore, sometimes the positive power wins, and then we do some good things, and we feel good, and that's when we act God-like. Or at least when we sleep, we just like God. We're doing no harm to no one, thinking no bad ideas, and wishing no one bad things. But when we awake, sometimes the negative power within us has the upper hand. And then sometimes we stray. And we feel very guilty, and we feel bad, and sometimes it harms ourselves physically, mentally, as well as other people. Everyone say that human being is the greatest, the crown creature in the whole universe. But do we know how great we are? Do we truly know? For what we see in our daily lives, we don't know. We are begging for any favor from God, from angels, or from local gods, whomever we know, or anything at all. While we have all the time the best possibility, the supreme power to alter everything, to make our wish come true, and to fulfill the wishes of other people. We have heard that the great masters of all time can bless people, can cure the sick, heal the blind, etc. Or can give us liberation by just the glance of their eyes or touch of their hands or by mere thinking of their name. We worship all these personages. But why don't we aspire to be one? And then we can bless other people, bless ourselves, and bless the world. That's why we suffer. Because we don't use our power. And we always craving and craving and feel some emptiness within our heart, for which no worldly possessions, no positions, and no any of the earthly beauties can fulfill in a long term. That's why people become so-called greedy, or craving for sex, for fame, for profit. Not because they are bad in their heart, just because they are too empty. They don't know why they want money, even they had already enough. They don't know why they have to wallow always in sexual unfulfillment. They don't know why they have to take drugs and all that. Just because they can't find fulfillment in this world. These are intelligent people. These are truly some of the highly developed souls. They're lost in the maze and they feel frustrated. Therefore, if we have enlightenment, if we find a power inside which fulfills all desires, which is above all desires, then we are free from all desire. We will have everything. We will have more things, but we don't desire anything.
Thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture on It Is You Who Bless Yourself. And now, stay tuned for a journey through aesthetic realms, coming up next on Supreme Master Television. We wish you an uplifting and beautiful day.